So it's a blessing to be with you today. Actually, I'm with a bunch of kids today, right? Yeah. Are we not young? Come on, every one of us, we think young, do we not? Now, how many are thinking old today? We got a couple. All right, well, hopefully by the time we leave here today, you'll be re-energized, rejuvenated, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 16. Today we're talking about the storms of life, or we could say it like this, storms, they come and go. How many have been in a storm before? All right, all of us. Some of you that did not raise your hand, you're lying to us, because all of us go through storms, right? And so, as I was preparing to come here today and just praying for your congregation, I've been reminded over and over again in my own life how good God is, how faithful God has been to both myself, my wife, and our kids. And no doubt many of you here today were unsettled and had emotions stirred when your pastor felt led to another call. And, you know, I've thought about this. Every one of us have come from somewhere else, including pastors. Currently, I serve at Lighthouse International Church. That's the fifth church that I've served in 40 years. And we know that all of us are called. And you know, when we're humbled and submitted to God, we're going to answer the call just like I did. I spent 13 years in the Army, and I remember when God called me out of the U.S. Army into His Army. And I'm so glad for the military training and discipline that I have, because as soon as I heard that call in my spirit, I just surrendered. I said, Lord, anytime, anywhere, any place, I'm yours. Use me. And really, you know, we have to believe that your former pastor was submitted to God in that way. But when the stuff of life happens, stuff happens in our life, the surprises that come, they can cause storms in our life. But I can assure you that any storm that you've gone through, any storm that you're going to go through, that none of it surprises God. None of it does. And so John's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus had some very interesting yet powerful words to tell us about life. And he said this, and I'm today going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. He said this, in this world, you will have tribulations. You will have storms. You're going to have trials. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, when I first got saved over 40 years ago, when I first came to Christ, I thought the preacher sold me a bill of goods, man, because I went home and I looked in the mirror and he said, you're a new man, you're changed. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, I'm still the same guy, man. This guy sold me a bill of goods. What's going on? And then I begin to discover God's love for me. But guess what? The storms and trials and tribulations, they were still there. How many know what I'm talking about? We all go through them. And so Jesus assures us, he said, in this world, as long as you're living on planet Earth, you are going to have storms, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And how many know that when we say we trust God, that God is in the midst of the storms? How many know that to be true? Okay. But you know what? It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. It's hard to embrace, because we tend to be just like Peter. Do you remember that story? Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, man, and he's out there water walking, and Peter says, I want to water walk too, man. And Jesus said, come on out. And Peter stepped out of the boat. He was focused like a laser on Jesus, and all of a sudden, the storms around him that were raging, he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink, just like you and I do many times over in our life. Well, about 3 years ago, I had a major storm hit my life. And I pray today I can get through this, because it's, even to this day, it's kind of painful to talk about. But I had this storm hit my life. And for years, I had been working out at the gym. I still do 4 or 5 days a week. I'm feeling great. For almost 10 years now, I've been at the gym. And I all of a sudden started having this pain. And I didn't really recognize what this pain was about. It was right here. And I'm on the elliptical, getting my heart rate up to about 140. I do this for about 40, 45 minutes every day. Do a little bit of weights. So I got off the elliptical and I'm like, you know, and it went away. The next day at the gym, Friday morning, same thing happened. Left the gym, it went away. But this time I went home and I said, hey, Jill, I've been having this like feeling of indigestion. It comes and goes and I just can't get rid of it. Man, I think I need to call the doctor. Well, it was Friday, so she said, well, we'll call Monday. So felt great on Saturday. Sunday went to church, felt great. Came home and I sat down. Jill's getting ready. We had a dinner engagement with a couple of pastors and their wives that evening, that Sunday evening. Jill's getting ready and I'm sitting out in the living room watching the Lions game. Just sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden that pain came back. Someone said, it's because you were watching the Lions game. We need to pray for those guys, man. But this pain came back. And I didn't think too much about it. Tried to put it out of my mind. We got in the car. We live up in Sterling Heights. And we got out on Hall Road. How many know about Hall Road, M59 up there? 4 lanes each way, 50, 55 miles an hour. So we're driving along, and I'm, you know, just, okay, what's this pain about going on? And all of a sudden, I said to Jill, do me a favor, Google on your phone signs of a heart attack. And she's like, what? And all of a sudden, boom! I felt like a sledgehammer had hit me right in my chest. And I'm driving 55 miles an hour. And I pulled the car over, and I'm just writhing in pain. Jill, unfortunately, she had a stroke nearly 20 years ago that took out her left peripheral in both of her eyes. But miraculously, she had seen on her left side, she saw Beaumont Urgent Care right across the street. And so she said, can you drive? And I said, I'm going to try, you know, and I'm driving. And I said, oh, my gosh, the pain was excruciating with every heartbeat. Pound, pound, pound. So I pulled the car in the parking lot. I dragged my butt in. The door's there. Couldn't find anybody. We're looking for anybody. There's nobody there. And so we finally go to the back, and long story short, they threw me up on a gurney. They stripped my clothes off. They put the paddle things on there, and they took my heart rate. My blood pressure was 198. Never forget this, 198 over 146. And they said, Mr. Urich, you're having a heart attack. We got to get you to the hospital. And I said, well, at this time, I said, well, our doctors, our Beaumont doctors, take me to Troy Beaumont. And the guy looked at me. He says, Mr. Urich, you're not going to make it to Troy Beaumont. We got to get you to Henry Ford. They're 2 minutes away. The ambulance is here. They gave me nitroglycerin. They gave me two nitro pills. Then they gave me two more shots of morphine. They couldn't get my blood pressure down. The pain's excruciating. They got me to the hospital. We had to wait for almost 45 minutes for the doctor to get there. He's at the Lions game. And I'll never forget laying on the table as they stripped me down, shaved me, got me ready for surgery, and I'm just writhing in pain. And all of a sudden, Spirit of God comes upon me. And I knew it was God, because at that point in my life, I was in a dark place spiritually. I wasn't spending time with God in my devotional life. was just going through the motions. Anybody ever been there before? You're just going through the motions. I knew that I wasn't right with God. So I begin to cry out, God, forgive me. Lord, I need you. And all of a sudden, things begin to get dark. And I felt like my very life was slipping away. And I called my wife over and I said, Jill, come here. I said, I'm not going to make it, honey. I'm not going to make it. And she said a quick prayer. She said, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And just about then, the surgeon showed up and they raced me down to the operating room. And they said, all right, we're going to give you a shot. And it's going to kind of put you out. And I said, wait a minute, you guys aren't going to put me out. I said, I want to pray for you first. I want to make sure you guys know what you're doing. And the surgeon said, well, go ahead. We never had anybody do that for us, but go right ahead. So I said a quick prayer. And all of a sudden they said, don't move. And within 2 minutes, I got up off the table. What did you do? What did you do? And the doctor said, I saved your life, buddy. He said, let me show you what you had going on here. And he pulled the video screen down. I mean, tell you, I felt like I was a new man. He said, you see this artery here? That's called the widowmaker. And you had that 99% blocked. He said, it's a miracle that you made it because most people that come in with what you had, they don't make it. He said, I'm going to tell you why you made it. He said, you've been working out all these years. I saw your chart. He said, what saved your life is you've been working out at the gym all these years. And I knew right then it was Jesus, not the working out. But it was God that saved my life. The next day, we're in ICU and a nurse came in. Nurse Nancy. Never forget Nurse Nancy. She said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, had a heart attack. She goes, no. What are you doing here? You're too young. You look too healthy. What are you doing here? And I felt like something had changed in the room. And I couldn't talk. I just shrugged my shoulders. She said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. She went, just like this. She went, I'll tell you why you're here. God put you here because you won't listen. She said, you've been running from God, not spending time with him. And he put you in a place where you can't run anymore. He's cornered you. Are you going to listen?
Yes, yes, I will.
I knew that God, through this nurse, had fingered my life. And so today, I want to give you four quick things, not that I've learned, but that I'm learning through the storms of life. Turn in your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter has some things to say about storms in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Peter writes, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. Now, I find that hard. I find it hard to be very glad in the midst of a heart attack. But God's word says, don't be surprised when trials come. Each and every one of us here this morning are going through some kind of trial, some kind of storm. Your church has gone through some kind of trial over the years, no doubt. You're in one now. But God says, Jesus said, take heart, be of good cheer. And he says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Four things that I'm learning from my storm that will encourage you today. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, the first thing that I'm learning is this: to hold on tightly to my intimacy with the Father as if my next breath depends on it, of which it does. The very fact that your heart's beating right now, that you're breathing in and out, only God. Only God. It's easy to say, but how many know that in our own strength, it's hard to do? In this crazy, upside down, sideways world that seems to be out of control, it's something that I have to, that you have to constantly be aware of and constantly work on, our intimacy with the Father. God, I'm learning that God really doesn't, God can do ministry without me in a sense. These people that say, well, God doesn't need you. Yeah, he does need you. But the fact is, if he won't use me, he'll use someone else. But I prefer him to use me. How many know what I'm talking about? How many want to be used by God today? All right, we're in a good crowd. Well, that only happens not in our own strength. And see, I made the mistake when I got out of the Army after 13 years. I was an infantry drill sergeant. Then I became a recruiter. So everything I did in the Army was with teams, okay? And I learned that I can't do anything without my brothers in arms. And the fact is, you and I, Jesus said in John 15, we can't do anything without him. And so what we do for God must come out of the intimacy that we have with God. We can do it in our own strength for a little while, and people might think, wow, you're doing an incredible job. You're awesome. But listen, if we don't spend time with God, we're missing the boat. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there with me, Philippians chapter 2, Paul said this in verse 12, dear friends, you always followed me, followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. The New King James says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So what I've come to learn is that my devotional life must mirror my gym life. What does that mean? I go to the gym without fail every day. So I go there to work out this physical body. Now, I've learned this over the years being at Planet Fitness. Anybody here belong to Planet Fitness? All right, very good. Okay. It's crazy to me. These guys, they serve pizza and donuts at the gym a couple of times a month. I'm like, these people are working out and all of a sudden they're feeding all these carbs, these people. And I'm like, what is with this? I don't get this, you know. We're trying to get in shape, right? So here I go to the gym, but just because I go to the gym doesn't mean that I'm working out. I see people there, they sit and they talk for hours. They sit and talk and they never once get on the machines. I'm like, what are you doing? So I got to be actively involved. My point is this. If I'm going to work out physically, I got to work out spiritually. And so when I sit down with the Word of God, guess what happens? God and I, the Father and I, are working out together. Paul said, work out your salvation. God and I are working out together on me. There's four ways that we can work out. Number one, with the Word of God. Number two, with prayer. Number three, with service to others. And number four, by sharing your faith with others. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. What things? The things that God wants to use in us and through us to help other people. Hold tightly to my intimacy with the Father. Number two, the second thing I'm learning is to hold tightly. This is so important. Hold tightly to my relationships with my wife, with my spouse, and my family as if their lives depend on it. Their lives depend on it. I didn't know what this really meant. Right about the time I had the heart attack, I had no idea the second storm that was going to be coming. And that is the storm of a relationship with my son and his wife. For some unknown reason to this day, almost 3 years ago, they cut us off. And the thing that really broke our heart was that he and his wife, they're both Christians. And we did everything in our power to bring reconciliation, but nothing would work. And my old army drill sergeant flesh would come up, and I wanted to take him out back and give him what for. But because I listened to my wife, which was very difficult to do, because my flesh wanted to pound this kid. Like, what is it? You disconnect us, you disconnect your sister and their family. What is going on? We had no idea. We probably don't even to this day, but they must have been going through some kind of storm. But about a year ago, Easter time, we got a text message from my daughter. Josh and Ginny want to get together on Easter. Come over and have dinner with us. This was a miracle, another miracle of God for our family. Not one word was said. I need a volunteer to help me. Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. His hand went up so fast, I almost missed him. Come on, brother. Is it
Ron?
Ron?
Yes.
Yeah. We hadn't seen the kids, hadn't seen the grandkids. How many know that would rip your heart out? It was just like, what is going on? And they came in, and this is all we did. Feel your love, brother. We just loved on each other. Nothing was said, and God healed our family. Hold on tightly, no matter what happens, to your relationship with your spouse and your kids. We're called to be peacemakers, and I'm still learning this. We're called to forgive, to reconcile, and to love unconditionally. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the Son of God. Matthew 5:9. Just recently, last week, I have an older brother. I got 6 siblings. My oldest brother lives a half mile from me. Haven't seen him in 12 years. He just cut off the entire family. We grew up in the military. My family, my dad spent 37 years in the Army. He was a Green Beret. We had a very rough upbringing. So we're very dysfunctional. Anybody have that in your family? I mean, you know, it's like, what? Everybody I meet's just, you know. But here's the thing. I've made it my life's aim to make sure that I'm reconciled with each and every one of my family members. I got to hold on tightly. Nothing more. I remember Nicholas Earp, Wyatt Earp's dad, said, learn this, son. Nothing matters more than blood, your family. So I hadn't seen my brother in 12 years. Had a cousin tell me recently, you need to pull a pop in. So guess what? Last week, I pulled a pop in. He was home. And we sat down for almost an hour just talking and I said, Greg, I want to make sure I don't have any, you and I are good. If I've done anything to offend you, to hurt you. He said, stop right there, Mark. He said, you've never done anything to me. He says, all the other nut jobs in the family. He said, you haven't done anything to me. He said, bro, you're welcome here in my home anytime. And I'm like, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Because he doesn't know Christ. And I've been looking for and praying for years. God, give me a doorway into his life. Paul tells us that we've been given the ministry. The moment Christ came into our heart, we now have the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said also in Romans chapter 12, he says, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Hold tightly to your relationship with your family. Number three, I'm learning to hold, and this is a big one today, I'm learning to hold tightly to my relationships with my brothers and sisters in Christ as though our lives depend on it and those outside the walls of this church depend on it. And here's why. The world is watching you. The world is listening to you. They're watching how we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, conduct ourselves, how we talk to each other, how we live together. The world's watching. Heaven help us if we're the ones that cause others to stumble. We're called to be our brother's keeper, my friends. No matter how many times Jonathan falls, Saul's son Jonathan, and Saul tried to become between Jonathan and David. No matter how many times Jonathan and David kept their love for one another. 1 Samuel 18:1 says, and the soul of Jonathan was knit together to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But how about 1 John 3:16? John writes, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Hold tightly to our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we've been called to be friends of one another, to be advocates, to be confidants, to be prayer partners. We're like how many have ever seen the movie Band of Brothers? You know, that incredible World War II movie. Man, these guys, and thank God for our military today. We have a band of brothers, a band of sisters that, listen, their motto is no one's left behind. We could learn so much from our warriors that are in harm's way today. They don't leave their wounded behind. How many times in the body of Christ have we left our wounded behind? Every person counts in the eyes of God. That's why Jill and I, we love going into the inner city, and we love these pastors that are just, they're laying down their lives. They're pouring it out. Many churches, in fact, the majority of churches have moved out of the city of Detroit. They're out here somewhere now. And one particular gentleman I work with, Pastor Matt, I remember someone asking him, man, why don't you guys move out? He said, who's going to be here for these kids? 90% of them don't have a father. Who's going to be here for these kids? We're not leaving. In fact, we're sinking down roots. In fact, we're buying more buses. Just this past year, God supernaturally, some guy called Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt, what's the mortgage on your building? Because they're about to lose their building. And the gentleman wrote a check. He said, meet me at the bank. I have a check for you. And he paid off his building, $100,000. He said, by the way, here's some more money for some more buses. We don't leave our brethren behind. And lastly, this morning, Number four, this one I really struggle with. I'm learning to hold on loosely to those things I cannot control. I'm learning to have what I call an open-handed policy with the Father. And our brother Roy here will tell you, yeah, he's telling the truth. Because I struggle with this. Why? It's our very nature to want to control things, right? We want to make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted. We want control. But Jesus tells us, listen, unless we lose our life, we can't even see the kingdom. Paraphrasing. We have to lose our life. We have to die. Mark has to die. When Nurse Nancy pointed me out, she read my mail, what God was saying, Mark, you have to die. You have to surrender. How about you this morning? Where in your life do we need to have an open hand policy? What am I doing? My hands are up. Bank robber comes in. Everybody's hands up. What are you doing? You're surrendering. Surrender. God, whatever, my family, my health, situations with my kids, my grandkids, my work, our church, Lord, I surrender. I have an open hand policy with you, God. God has a different way for us. It's almost like a hands-off approach. Now, we understand that we have to do our part. And I've learned this, and still learning, God will never do what Mark is capable of doing. I'm the one that's got to crack my Bible open every day. God's not going to drag me by the scruff of the neck, say, here, sit down, open your Bible. No, I'm the one that's got to do this. I'm the one that's got to pray. I'm the one that's got to serve. I'm the one that's got to open up my mouth and tell others about Jesus, even at the grocery store. Doesn't mean I have to be a blabbering fool witness. No, it's just say, hey, is there anything I can... My wife and I do this all the time. We're at the restaurant, waitress, waiter comes up. Say, hey, we're about to pray here. Anything that we can pray for you? Not one time has a waiter or waitress ever said, no, we don't want prayer. In fact, many times we begin to see tears running down their eyes because they're going through a storm in their life. And God wants to use us as a healing agent to bring calm to that storm, even through prayer. We do our part. God does his part, and we leave the results up to him. And I got to tell you, just recently, it's this, like, I'm schizophrenic, you know. God, I want to answer. Peace. God, I need an answer. Peace. Even on the way here today, Jill and I were talking. We're just praying through some things. And I just said, man, I just got this overwhelming peace that's coming in like the waves of Lake Michigan. Someone say amen. Love being out on Lake Michigan. Amen. Proverbs 3 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Peter said in 2 Peter 5:7, casting all of your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you this morning. He loves you. He's got the very best for you. In fact, folks, take this to the bank. God has the very pastor for you today. Why? Because he cares about this congregation. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord and he shall bring it to pass. Did you notice? Not Mark, he shall bring it to pass. So as we close this morning, I'm learning this, that the more I commit my ways to the Lord, I'm learning what it means to live a surrendered life. A surrendered life. And you know, just the other day, I went to see my cardiologist, and he said, "Mark, you're doing fantastic. If I could get all my patients to do what you do, man, that would be so awesome." I said, "I give all the credit to God, because in my nature, I'm just got to do it. But God is refining us. He's refining me. And listen, He's refining you as individuals, as families, and, hallelujah, He's refining this church and preparing you for something that you can't even see yet, but you must know that God is in it." Amen? Amen. Roy?